This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon. News you need,
like it or not.
Thank you for calling the International PMS Crisis Hotline. All of our counselors are occupied at the moment. We want to help. So please, leave your name and number after the beep.
Or we'll rip your head off and shove it right up your ass!
I could feel the Christmas noose beginning to tighten. Maybe what happened next was inevitable.
Ralphie, what would you like for Christmas?
Horrified, I heard myself blurt it out.
I want an official Red Ryder Carbon Action 200 Airways while arrows.
Ooh. No. Shoot your eye out.
Oh, no. It was the classic mother BB gun block. You'll shoot your eye out. That deadly phrase uttered many times before by hundreds of mothers was not surmountable by any means known to kiddom.
Tonight, your kids will sleep with your rifle. You will give your rifle a girl's name. Because this is the only pussy you people are going to get. Your days of finger-banging old Mary Jane Rottencrotch through her pretty pink panties are over. You're married to this piece, this weapon of iron and wood, and you will be faithful.
This is the CBS Evening News, with Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger, war, killer, fraud, CIA, mayhem, crisis, horrible, inflation,
military threat,
flaming debris, fatal heart attack, stress injuries, prison disaster, economic collapse, dangerous radiation, a tide of violence and human misery, a liar and an unremorseful killer. Communists international smuggling pipeline, starving victims, and how they die. Chemical weapons, carpet bomb deaths, top FBI kill and injure children, police conspiracy, negative attacks, discipline, sex and drinking binges, dying of a heart attack, dying of breast cancer, dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb, mountains of credit card debt, the mountain of cocaine, tons of cocaine. And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS EV News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night and have a great weekend.
This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon Radio.
Oh, yeah. Start date, November the 9th, 2004. Release date.
One day. All right, Mr. Obfuscated, what is going on in your life?
I got an inspection sticker today.
Did you manage to get one?
No, it says rejected on it.
That sucks, dude. You should get a new car.
Suppose the EPA decide, yeah.
Just go buy a new one.
The EPA decide I should not be driving at the moment.
What are you doing wrong?
What's that?
What are you doing wrong?
I'm driving, obviously. I'm letting bad smoke into the air. The birds are going to die and all the animals, they're going to be sad. And, oh my God, there's smoke in the air. Oh. My Aww. Pussy's burning. It's burning. Fucking liberals. Anyway, what's going on with you this week?
I've been working on plumbing under my house mainly.
Plumber.
Yes, I'm the super educated plumber in the group.
Super educated. You got an email this week?
Yes, I did get an email this week. It was from Kevin Smith. It says, Kevin Smith obviously doesn't know how to spell very well, but it says, cheap medications, most charge $14.95, we charge $2.95. No prescription required.
That is good.
Shipping worldwide. Order today and go into sexual overdrive. Secure order now at http://123rxrocks.com/?hotstuff.
Man, we could start buying some sweet juice like Rush Limbaugh does.
Sexual overdrive, man.
Sexual overdrive.
So thank you to that guy for sending that to me. He obviously knows my problems.
Man, actually, since everybody knows we skipped a week because we had personal shit to do. And
that episode sucked.
Yes, it did. That's why it's called the worst of, obviously.
Well?
We missed a lot of things, man. We had a lunar eclipse. Remember that?
No.
Okay. You remember the elections?
The what?
Okay. Those elections we had?
Who won?
Huh?
Who won?
This guy Mike down the street won.
Excellent.
He's pretty cool. I voted for him.
Yeah, actually, I'm lying. I know what the elections were. And I went and voted. And if you want to see a picture of my voting place, it's actually on the BinRef forums.
Since this is kind of technology related, what would describe the process of it for me?
Of me going to vote?
Well, yeah, not you walking there. I'm talking about the actual voting itself.
Well, my wife and I got into our T-Bird convertible, and we drove down the street, like exactly down the street to the fire station, and we went in and showed them our voter registration cards, which are these little blue pieces of paper. And they checked our identity very well by saying, "You live at this street, right?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And they said, "Sign your name and go ahead."
How do you know where you live at?
It was on my voter registration card, I guess.
That's all you had to do is just show them your voter registration card. You'd be like, he's like, "Oh, yeah, you live down the street next from Paul, don't you? Get in that booth right there, son."
Right across the street from Miss Totsy. Anyway, that's where we live, as we tell
Miss Totsy.
Miss Totsy.
Is that the one you had the naked pics of?
No.
Oh, okay.
This one's actually older than that lady. Anyway, I go in and sign my name. I was number 51. And they handed us this little plastic container and said, go in the booth. And the booth consisted of some really assorted wood that was nailed together.
Like particle board?
No, like
scrap wood.
Strips of wood. And then they had taken some canvas and stapled that on there around it to guide your protection, you know, your whatever, what you're voting on. And there was no door or anything. They were just tilted to the side. So, I don't know. Maybe people are so fat where I live that you don't really need a door. And these things weren't new. Like, they weren't thrown together this week. They were thrown together maybe 20, 30 years ago and then stored in a rat nest. Anyway, I finished voting, handled back my thing. They slid the paper into the box, and we were done. And went to Huddle House and ate.
Huddle House?
Yes.
That's the actual name of a place?
Yeah, Huddle House. It's like a Waffle House.
But not.
But better.
I was actually got there to the middle school where I live at. And
go to school at.
And go to school at still. I'm still haven't passed the fucking sixth grade.
It sucks when you have to get a parking permit for sixth grade, doesn't it?
I get to sit in the teacher's lounge, smoke cigarettes, and bitch about kids. That goddamn Tommy Watson, he fucking still cheating on my test.
I wouldn't cheat off of you if you were the last person to cheat off of.
Yeah, still in the sixth grade, right? Yeah, yeah. And got there. They checked my, even though I've been knowing these people for like, how old am I, 20, going to be 25 next week? For like 23 years. They still checked my, I didn't have to bring my voter registration card. I never have. I show my ID. They matched it up within the book. Had to sign the thing. And it said I had to actually fill out another form because I guess I haven't voted in an election since 2000.
Huh.
So I had to fill the form out saying I still exist, you know? And check here
if you were still alive.
Yeah, I know I had to sign a whole paper, had a witness sign. It was pretty legitimate. And then I said, well, since I'm doing this, there's five other people I think died. Can I sign for them, too? They're like, sure, why not? So I got to vote for them, too.
Excellent.
Election fraud is the shit, as they say in the hood. But
as long as you election fraud, the same amount of votes for everybody.
No,
it's not really bad.
No, I didn't.
It just makes everybody look better.
And, no, mine was like the computer, the flat, you know, the touchscreen bullshit. With a big button on top that says vote. I'm for voting. Let me push that. You know,
your vote has already been counted. Thank you.
We had five people running for president where I'm from. I think it's really shitty that each state has different, like, you know, people running. Somebody I know in Virginia said they only had like three or four people running.
My state only had one guy. It was like, Nader. Check here for W.
No, we had...
It was written in crayon on the voting form.
No, we had Democrat, Republican, Green, that's Nader, right?
Mm-hmm.
Green, Libertarian, Socialist, and there's one more.
I don't know if we had Socialist. We had a whole plethora of people.
Yeah. I was like, the Socialist is still running, huh? I thought... Never mind. Anyway, did you get to check out the lunar eclipse?
No.
You know nothing about it.
Nothing.
You're running SETI, trying to find aliens, and you
on
didn't
like
know,
eight different computers.
And you don't know anything about the lunar eclipse.
The eclipse doesn't matter, ass.
Yeah, but it's fun to look at.
What I like to see is some fucking lasers shooting across the sky.
That'd be
cool. Never see fucking lasers shooting across the sky.
I want to see.
I'm all for fucking military spending for space because I want to see some fucking lasers.
Like a light show or just like
shooting people, light show, whatever.
I want a reenactment of a space war from our military since they're not doing anything at the moment.
Well, when they get the lasers up there, they got to practice with them. I just hope they do it at night so I can see.
Also, just to let everybody know, if you live along the Mississippi River, which is like you know part of the country, Supposedly, there's going to be an earthquake within the next week or two. This is coming from my exclusive source at Coast to Coast AM.
Ooh, Coast to Coast AM.
With George Norrie.
The soothing sounds of controversy.
Yes. Yeah, there's going to be an earthquake.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think the last earthquake on the Mississippi has been like thousands of years.
No. There was a game at LSU that... The fans cheered so loudly that they it was measured on the Richter scale.
You mean when we get when we kick Mississippi's ass next week?
You know, I'm actually going to that game, and I don't have much hope for Ole Miss winning, but I do have hope for me sneaking a bottle of whiskey into the game.
That shouldn't be too hard.
Like at Ole Miss, they actually search you, and like the last LSU game I went to down there, I had a hunting coat on. And I had 2/5 in, like, the game pouch in the back of the coat.
Well, it's going to be kind of cold, so you'd be able to wear, like, all kinds of gear.
But, like, they frisk you. Like, they touch your balls going into the Ole Miss game. Like, they have these guys, and that's their job. They're like, let me see your balls. Because I guess that's the place to hide your liquor.
We're the ball
like,
searchers.
Rubber band them to your balls. I don't know.
Oh, man.
All right. What else?
Yeah, I got some emails this week. You ready?
Yeah, buddy.
Our contestant number one on Who's Got Email.
It's, I was contestant number one and I lost.
First one's from Dick. He says, hello, I'm writing this letter to say I'm a big fan of FM.com Radio. I download every show and then play them in my car as I drive to my shitty job at the grocery store. Fuck yeah for shitty jobs. That's me saying that. While driving sometimes in my car on the opposite lane from me, people overhear your commentary concerning such topics as hand jobs and necrophilia. And simply shake their heads in disgust and bewilderment. Stupid fuckers. Anyways, since I'm a fan of the show, I was wondering if there would be a way to purchase an Infonomicon t-shirt. I truly believe that you guys have tech news that the world needs, like it or not. And I like to support this type of programming. That's cool that he calls this programming. I prefer to call this fecal matter.
Yeah, fecal matter would be a very accurate description.
About the t-shirts, we're contacting our man on the street, Pixel Fiend, about such topics as we speak. And hopefully...
As we speak.
As we speak, right now. And hopefully next week I can have some info for y'all about the t-shirts.
I'm thinking about buying some t-shirts. That's pretty much what we're thinking about.
And I'll email this guy back probably in midweek and tell him about it, but I'll have the info. Info at the Infonomicon.
We're going to order one small, and then all the rest of them are going to be extra, extra large. Because the one small is going to my wife, and then I guess all the rest of our listeners probably need an extra, extra large.
Yeah, probably. Extra, extra large. Come on. That's just...
It comes with sausage.
Italian sausage. You got an email besides that?
No.
Okay. Actually, I got a few. This next one comes from... I guess I'm not going to say his name, so... Fuck it. His name is Evan.
Okay.
And this is his email. Dude, I've got some... I have some songs for you guys to play on the show. He names a list of shows, songs from The Bad Brings and Iggy and the Stooges. So do me a favor and tell Jupes that as much as I love the show, Jimmy Buffett isn't music. It's the sound of a million souls dying at once.
Yes, because my favorite music is music that goes like this. That's just musical in my ear.
It is. It's... to Margaritaville.
Scare my dog.
Margaritaville.
Well, look, that guy can fucking suck my dick like that.
He's my new friend.
And he can suck yours. He's your new buddy now.
Well, he actually gave us a list of good songs. And I tell you what, I already picked the song for next week. I mean, for this week. But I tell you what, I'll play some Bad Brings on the next show. I don't know. I haven't looked at my Bad Brings CDs for a while, but I'll pick something really good. And I'll play some Bad Brings for the next show.
All right.
Okay, on to the next one. Got one more.
One more.
Our mailbag is overflowing with love. Okay, this is from Berserk. He actually had a funny story to send to us. It's somewhat tech-related. He said, my freshman year... Do you remember Channel 1, actually?
No. What's Channel 1?
Well, Channel 1, before I read the email, I probably should go into depth, but I'm sure a lot of people know what it is. It started when I was in middle school. I remember it. And we basically, during, like, what do you call the first class of the day? Was that home class? What the fuck they used to call
it? Homeroom.
Homeroom, whatever. That's how you know I'm old. Homeroom, we used to have to sit and watch 10 minutes of shitty TV news.
Really?
Yeah, it was called Channel 1 News. And it was directed toward the schools, you know? It wasn't shown on regular TV. And it was basically cool. Bullshit. And it had commercials. It was, ugh. It was stupid. You know? And I'll go into that. And there was a TV set up in every room for this, for the purpose of just showing you this during homeroom.
Well, my public school had TVs, but we never watched them except, like, to play a movie.
Right. It says, my freshman year in high school, on, like, the third day of school, I was sitting in the homeroom to watch Channel 1, a crappy news program they made us, the whole district, watch daily. Well, some AV guys, AV geeks, are something patched in a video instead. The video was a junior cheerleader sucking off her horse. Someone had doctored up and have someone had doctored it up to have her name scrolling across the screen. The whole school went absolutely insane with laughter and ew sounds. It was one of the coolest things I ever had in my high school. Not totally tech related, but actually, let me tell you this before I go into the news. Where I used to work at in Hammond, Louisiana, it was in one of the strip malls, and about four stores down was a radio station. It's just like this crappy, like 1940s, 50s music type radio station. A lot of Bobby Vinton. And there, of course, they had the satellite, right? One of those big ass satellites, you know, the old kind with the rednecks having in the backyard still. Those kind of satellites, you know, shooting off, right?
I got one behind the house.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing connecting this to this building inside was a coax cable. And it's totally, you can actually go up to it. The satellite's not high. You can just go up to it, unscrew it, and plug something else if you want it. And I always wondered what would happen if I plugged in, like, audio of, like, people fucking, if that would go in the air.
That's excellent.
Maybe you see that on Infonomicon TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That should be pretty interesting.
That's awesome.
Obfuscated arrested.
Obfuscated arrested.
On the next Infonomicon.
Huh. All right. What else did you get?
I got ingrown toenail.
Can you lick it?
No.
Well, you're no good.
You know, if I don't want to go to a doctor, I guess I got to get a fucking pull a knife out and kind of like, you know, saw that bitch off.
Well, buddy, I have found a new job for you.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, it's part of an article. Are we ready to do these things?
Did you want to talk about granny pics?
No. 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 No! No! You gotta stop bringing that up. God. Awful. I'm not even gonna tell everybody about it. It's bad. PM obfuscated. He's got like a website. RateMyGranny.com or something.
MILF and the Grannies.
MILF and the Grannies. G.I.'d like to fuck. GILF. A gimped up old GILF. Anyway. Google whacking. You ever heard of Google whacking?
I think I just did that last night.
It's when you... Well, instead of masturbation, it actually... dramatic pause. Involves finding a combination of keywords that yield a single web result when entered into the popular search engine of Google. That's at google.com for all you retarded fucks.
Noob, noob, noob.
Anyway, some classics of the genre include unicyclist periscopes and dork turn split.
Huh? So,
that's some of the things that they've entered in. Like, you have to enter in a real word, like two words, and hit Google, hit search. Anyway, but now that unicyclist periscopes and dork turn split have become so popular, because they only had one result, there's actually now more than one result for these. Such as things like Infonomicon. That's one. Type it in. It won't pull up any results. As of, like, 3 weeks ago, you could do that. Anyway, until recently... Google whacking has been little more than a time-wasting activity, which is something that we're damn good at that. And while procrastinating from writing a novel last year, this English guy, David Gorman, took up this hobby of Google whacking and spent 8 weeks traveling around the world, tracking down the owners in about 25 sites that have monopoly on Google search result pages for given search terms. Mr. Gorman's account of his adventures on the road spawned a book which briefly topped the United Kingdom's newspaper's bestseller list and has a theatrical performance now. He has a one-man comedic show. It's about to open its official off-Broadway run in New York City, and it's also run widely in the UK and Australia.
I just searched it, and like, there's an actual site called googlewhack.com.
Yeah. Now, some of the stories in this little guy's off-Broadway play about Google whacking.
One of the plays about Google whacking?
Yeah, it's about him meeting these people. And he went on an extended road trip to Mexico with a gun-toting man from Austin, Texas, whose site turns up the terms pomegranate filibusters. Now, Mr. Gorman is 33 years old. He has an off-Broadway play about Google whacking, and Google hasn't really given him much attention. The closest he's had contact with Google, and he has a friend, a friend of the founder of Google, attended his performance in Scotland and asked to sign a copy of his book for him. A Google spokesman actually said, "We're supportive of Dave Gorman's enthusiasm for bringing Google to the stage." So this guy was just sitting around his ass.
No one works anymore, I don't think, right?
And now he has an off-Broadway play about Google.
Why can't we fucking do shit like this?
We do more work for this fucking radio show. We don't have an off-Broadway play.
I can do one.
Infonomicon! Fuck yeah!
F1 has AIDS!
So anyway, that guy just sucks.
Yeah. It's like these people who come up with these stupid shit and they make all kinds of money. Why can't I fall into some fucking money like that?
Why can't I be elected?
No one would vote for you.
People would vote for me.
You think?
You'd be in my cabinet. They like you.
No, I think I got... You know what? We have more people that hate this show than they do like it.
They have more people that hate you than like me.
I'm proud of that.
All right, read an article.
Yeah, light up a cigarette. We support cancer on this show.
We're all about some cancer.
Yeah, don't expect no fucking communist shit from here. Okay. Actually, you know, listen to Howard Stern bitch and whine about the FCC and all that good shit made me think of, you know, the old seven dirty words thing, you know? Remember that?
Okay.
And that the FCC is deemed inappropriate for radio, right? And you know what those seven dirty words are?
What's that?
Guess.
Shit, fuck, cunt, ass. No, probably not ass.
You missed ass, no.
So shit, fucking cunt, not bullshit.
Okay, shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
Tits?
Tits are on there.
What?
Yeah, tits.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, the story behind it, like, a lot of people don't know about it, but some people know kind of about it. So I'm going to read the article because that's since we're kind of radio and...
Okay.
Comedian George Carlin, best comedian of all time, recorded a monologue that was called Filthy Words. The monologue was played on Pacifica radio station WBAI-FM. A man complained to the FCC because his son heard the broadcast. The FCC asked Pacifica for a response, then issued a declaration order upholding the complaint. No specific sanctions were included in the order, but the WBAI was put on notice that in the event of subsequent complaints are received, the commission will then decide whether it should utilize any of the available sanctions it has been granted by Congress. Pacifica appealed against the decision, which was overturned by the Court of Appeals. The SEC, in turn, appealed to the Supreme Court, which ruled in favor of the FCC. Surprise there. This decision formally established the indecency regulations in American broadcasting. In followed-up rulings, the FCC clarified that the words might be acceptable under certain circumstances, particularly at times when children would not be expected to be in the audience. In the 2000s, tits and piss are generally no longer prohibited from broadcast over public airwaves in the United States, with shit often allowed as well.
Huh.
It is important to note that the FCC regulations only apply to broadcast networks. Cable networks are not officially regulated. However, many cable networks censor their program regardless because of the pressures put on them by the advertisers. Once the obstacle is dealt with, the seven dirty words are fair game. See most FX original series and Comedy Central's airing of South Park episode It Hits the Fan, during which shit is uttered 162 times in 1.5 hour, and the rated R film South Park Bilger, Louder, and Cunt. Uncut. I just love saying the word cunt, you know. These shows all air at late at night, usually after 2100 hours. What the fuck did they put that in there for? Anyway, the band Blink-182 has a song called Family Reunion, in which the word shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turd, and twat are repeated 4 times, followed by I fucked your mom. Intelligent band as it is. The 10 words are from Carlin's 10-word version of the list.
Huh.
And that's one of the reasons why he's my favorite comedian of all time. What other comedian has sanctions?
Well, if you don't have a rule that's made definitely in spite of you or because of you, you're not cool.
Yeah. And, you know, he might have ripped off a lot of Lenny Bruce, but who gives a shit? This dude has fucking laws put in place.
Speaking of balls and speaking of rules, I had a friend at military school that had a rule that was made just for him. In our student handbook, it was actually a rule that said teabagging is not allowed. When we went over that, he was just laughing and laughing and laughing. He's like, that's because of me. He was known for dropping trowel and squatting on people while they were sleeping, so.
Ass in the face.
Teabag, baby. That's balls in the mouth.
Wait. So there's no teabagging, so he pretty much got rid of it, but he liked to do it.
He did it so much that they made a rule that he couldn't do it.
Fucking Nazis. And the no teabagging laws.
Speaking of laws, guess who's getting sued?
My mom?
No, no, that's port. Guess who's getting sued?
Who?
People. People for what? Downloading movies.
Yay! Yay!
Now, as we all know, lawsuits against individual music pirates have done little to stop music fans stealing songs over the internet.
And they couldn't get my fucking
ass. Or as I like to call, sharing.
They couldn't get my fucking ass. They couldn't hold the man down, baby.
But as the movie industry begins a legal campaign of its own to snuff out online film swapping before it becomes rampant, it may have better luck. And the reason it's going to have better luck, you'll all see, is because they're copying something that someone else did. Anyway, the MPAA, which is the Motion Picture Association of America.
Jack Valenti is God. Jack Valenti is God.
Little subliminal from the obfuscated. Anyway, this MPAA group, it's like the mother puckers, whatever, said yesterday that members planned to begin filing copyright infringement suits against individuals who trade illegal digital copies of movies online. The music industry has filed thousands of such suits in the past year with mixed results, but timing, circumstances, and the complicated nature of trading movies online may give Hollywood better odds. For starters, the new campaign is being launched while movie downloading is in its infancy, whereas the music industry waited until online song swapping had become an integrating habit among millions of Americans. Movie sharing, while becoming increasingly popular, still represents less than 2% of all online file sharing compared to the 60% of music and other audio files and porn, according to Big Champagne LLC, a company that tracks illegal file sharing.
I would think porn beats all of them.
Yeah. I added the and porn part, but whatever.
Oh, I think it is.
One reason movie piracy hasn't taken off yet is the huge size of digital movie files. Even after compressing a movie file so it can move faster around the interweb, it still takes about 7,000 megabytes. A user could download hundreds of songs during the hours it would take to download a single movie on a regular dial-up internet connection. During the hours? During the months and months of no phone service because you're downloading fucking Russell Crowe's latest crap. Of course, we know high-speed internet connections are coming around, and several products hitting the market make it much easier to connect a computer to a TV.
And why is it taking so long for people to get fucking broadband?
I don't know. Like, Sony Corporation has a thing called Room Link that's coming out, or Microsoft Corporation's Windows Media Connect software. This will allow downloading movies that can quickly and conveniently be shown on televisions rather than on computer monitors, and this might prove very tempting to many Americans, especially if they suffer no legal consequences as a result.
Oh, no, you just do get a DVD burner. That solves it.
Yeah. Now the MPAA is making its position plain in hopes of deterring behavior before consumers give in to temptation. If you're involved in the trafficking of illegal files...
Speak it, brother, speak it!
You're subject to a suit, says Simon Barsky, general counsel for the MPAA. I bet that guy sleeps well at night, because he's a son of a bitch. The MPAA members will also be able to move much faster than their colleagues at record companies whose suits, initially faced setbacks as internet service providers contested the subpoena process they were using. Now the studios know exactly what methods will pass muster in court. Yet the effect of such lawsuits on music downloads is open to debate. Total music sales have been rising after 3 years of decline, but the growth is small, about 6% so far this year. The lawsuits likely contributed to the rebound, but falling CD prices and more appealing offerings from labels were big drivers too. So they made it cheaper and they made it more appealing, but it's the lawsuits that's making it better. The lawsuits. Online sales are rising fast also, but still represent less than 2% of all music sales. So they have supposedly a better product, and it's cheaper, but it's lawsuits that's, you know, fixing the customers.
Got it. Fucking customers.
Fucking customers. What? What the fuck? No.
Download movies is not keeping people from the movie theater. Most people don't know how to download movies, for the most part. And if they did...
Most people don't know how to learn music.
Right. So it's like... Oh, mic fix. Okay, there we go.
That's a little bumpy.
It is. Like my cock. But, you know, it's
cock,
not the...
That's the smartest part of you.
That's what she said. And... No, it's just... It's the fucking movie shitty. You know? Like, I used to go to the movies, like, about three times a week now. I have trouble going like once every other, like once every other month because there's no fucking, there's nothing to see. There really isn't anything to see.
Yeah.
Really? Like, like let's see what's right now. No, what's good. Okay, okay, you got The Incredibles. It's a kid's
movie. The Incredibles!
It's a kid's movie. I'm not going to go see it.
It's super incredible!
Ray.
What?
I like Ray Charles and everything. I got some CDs, but you know what? You know, I'm fucking there. And I like Jamie Foxx, but
he's not going to see the movie.
He's dead. He's dead.
So?
The Grudge. No, I seen the original. It was okay. It was good. I'm not going to see a fucking remake of an original that just came out. And I hate Sarah Michelle Gellar, who should commit suicide promptly.
Listening, Sarah Michelle Gellar, please.
Kill yourself. Which she's not, and she don't give a shit. Anyway.
I think she listens to the show.
You think?
Yeah.
Think she masturbates listening to the show? Who's she married to, anyway?
Not me.
I'll see if we can kick her ass, kick his ass. Let me see. Speaking of suicide, she's married to Freddie Prinze Jr., whose father did commit suicide.
Excellent.
Yes, and he should, too. It runs in the family. Was that wrong to say stuff like that?
No, it's the interweb. You can say whatever you want.
I don't feel bad. Okay, a movie everyone should go see.
You could kick a puppy and not feel bad. You're a son of a bitch.
My neighbor's like, what the fuck? The movie everyone should go see is Saw. S-A-W. Go see this fucking movie.
What's it about?
Basically, have you ever seen Cube?
Nope.
Basically, it's the same concept as Cube. A couple people wake up in a room, don't know how the fuck they got there, they're chained to a wall. Come to find out that they have to... I don't want to give too much of it out. They have to do a certain number of things for them to be allowed to get out. You know, it's a game, pretty much. Just like a cube, people are stuck in a cube, and each room is a different cube, and they have to find a way to get out. And there's like a certain pattern to get out.
All right.
And excellent movie, bloody as fuck. Excellent.
Excellent.
Okay, on to the next article, because we are tech news.
Yes, we are tech news. Is it my turn?
No, it's my turn.
Oh, come on, let me be my turn.
IBM's Blue Gene goes for sale.
Hong Kong, Microsoft.
IBM's Blue Gene just got a step more mundane. The machine begins life.
I wear IBM Blue Jeans.
You do?
Yeah, they're very comfortable.
Tattooing an ass has. I don't get that shit. Why do chicks wear those, like, you know, like those sweatpants that have shit on their ass?
Because they want people to look at their ass.
But when you look at their ass, they're like, why are you looking at my ass? Sexual harassment.
No. That's why they wear it, so people will look at their ass. Except I really want to make some that have really comical words on them that I can just give out to these people.
Like wide load?
Like wide load, or like, don't look. Or like, you're lucky you're not blind.
Like, every time I see that, I just want to stick my finger at some chick's ass, like right there, you know, and go, whoo. So you won't be wearing that again. The machine began its life as a research project in 2000. It's presently the world's fastest supercomputer and has only 4 publicly announced customers. But as IBM earlier promised would happen, the design has become comparatively ordinary products sold by IBM Servers Group under the brand name eServer Blue Gene. The Blue Gene is available immediately with a starting price of $1.5 million, about the price of a gateway. IBM plans to announce on Monday, the opening day of the SC 2004 Supercomputer Show in Pittsburgh. IBM is selling... Let me see, is it the next? Yeah. IBM is selling it and configures it ranging from 1 to 64 racks. Each rack has 1,024 processors. A 16-rack configuration is the world's record holder, able to perform 70.7 trillion calculations per second, or 70.7 teraflops. According to a convenient, it's imperfect speed test called LINPACK.
Excellent.
Basically, if you got $1.5 million, you can get a new computer. Or you can go to Gateway or Dell and spend the same amount. You know. I wonder if this comes with a monitor and a printer.
I don't know.
And if there's any rebates. I have a big problem with rebates.
Well, why do you have a big problem with rebates?
Since you used to work at a place that it's notorious for fucking rebates, I have a complaint. Why not just fucking give the rebate there?
Well, I'll tell you why.
Okay, I'm sure you had an explanation for it.
I don't agree with the whole process. I'll just tell you why. Because, like, 80% of the people don't ever fill that rebate form out.
Well, I realize that. I did one time, you know what? They sent it back saying I forgot to fill a line out.
Yeah.
You know what the line was? How did I hear about it? They sent it back. And when I tried to send it after I filled the one fucking line out, I sent it back and they said it was the rebate's over with.
Yeah.
I'm like, you fucking assholes.
That's why they do it.
You fucking... Ooh. Okay, that's in the mall. Go buy a blue jean.
All right. Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah, sure. Merry-go-round, bitch.
Oh, my bad. All right. Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Microsoft Corporation, our favorite company. Tomorrow, well, actually not tomorrow, but a few days ago, started rolling out its new low-cost Windows software in developing countries. But most big-name computer makers are still not on board with the project, and limitations of the product could dent its appeal, according to the technology research firm. We all talked about this Microsoft XP Starter Edition. We've talked about this before on the show, but it had some more information about such things. The product represents a significant break, of course, from Microsoft's previous policy of charging the same price for the same crap all around the world. It indicated how difficult it could be for Microsoft to maintain its valued profitability while attracting new users in poor but very populous nations.
Wait. So, like, if they charge $300 for Windows XP, right?
Yeah.
Are they charging, like, $300 equivalent in rubles?
Yes, for XP.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's like, fucked up.
Walmart has different pricing around the world.
Well, most everything does. You go to Mexico, you can get things like for pennies, you know?
Yeah.
So they're charging, like, you know how much $300 can get you in fucking Mexico?
Yeah. So anyway, that's why they've come out with this XP Lite. Whatever.
Oh my god, I hate this store. Go ahead.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, go ahead. So they don't want to change the pricing, so they just make a shittier version of the product.
Yes! Now, it's not going to be a big hit. And I have my reasons, and I'll tell you in a minute. But the software only allows you to open 3 applications at one time, which restricts the number of tasks that you can perform and hinders the activities such as instant messaging. Because if you're checking your email, looking on the internet, and instant messaging, that's all you can fucking do on your computer. Or if you're typing a paper, looking up something, you can't have.
You know what? I'm all for capitalism. I really am. But this sucks. Now, come on. This is the kind of shit people should be shot for. It's kind of like if you go get a car, and they sell it the same car over in, like, I don't know, poor country, let's say Mexico, right? They sell the same car, lower price, but they take away, like, part of the transmission out.
Yeah. Anyway,
so it doesn't go up to, like, 70, it only goes up to, like, 20 miles an hour.
The software also... This XP Starter Edition comes with a very limited word processing capability, so you're going to spend $400 fucking Word or Office, and there's no out-of-the-box internet access and a screen resolution that won't support many newer computer games. What? You're going to sell it how? In Thailand and elsewhere, consumers will only be able to get the Starter Edition when they buy a new computer that's preloaded with the software. You'll be able to purchase a computer for about $300, they're thinking. So far, the only major PC maker that has signed on for the initial rollout is Acer.
Acer makes computers?
Yeah. In its current form, the software is not ready for the big vendors to adopt it, says Martin Gilland, a Gardner or some whatever from Singapore. Oh. He says the global PC makers such as Dell and Hewlett-Packard may view the new product as too risky because they could be left with significant inventory if the product doesn't sell well.
Acer makes pretty decent peripherals, though. They're okay. But This is just, it's just fucking stupid. It makes no sense. Logistically, it makes no sense.
The reason they're doing this shit is to stop piracy. Why would you not pirate something if you're getting a piece of shit with your computer?
If you can't afford it, what makes you not think you're going
to
pirate?
It makes no sense to me.
Basically, I don't know how much computers cost in, like, Mexico and poorer countries. I'm sure they're cheaper because people can't afford it. The price has to adapt to the economy of the country. And you basically, I can imagine, like, computers cost like $300 over there, right? Let's say it costs $300 to get a computer, right?
Yeah.
You're charging the same amount for the fucking operating system.
Yeah.
That's fucking ridiculous. But what you going to do about it? Nothing. So if you're listening in another country, pirate, well, if you're living in any country, matter of fact, pirate Windows.
Yes.
We at Infonomicon endorse the pirating.
We don't do it per se that we tell people about.
Yes.
But we endorse it heavily.
Right.
You fucks.
You fuckers.
All right, Mr. Fucker, go ahead. You're shot.
As we know, the elections were just passed, and whoever won, right?
Yes.
And I just want to throw in a side note right here. You know, of course, we don't get political, but I heard a bunch of people saying, you know, wasted vote, wasted vote, wasted vote. You know what? No such thing as a wasted vote. If you went in there and you voted for the Socialist Party, and you believe in the Socialist Party, whatever they believe in, I don't know, I've never checked their site out. I'm sure it's all HTML.
And you're crazy.
No, I'm not saying that, you asshole. I'm saying that if you believe in the Socialist Party, you should vote for the Socialist Party. If you truly believe in the Libertarian Party, you should vote Libertarian. You know, don't let people make you believe that a wasted vote is actually, you know, it's you're wasting your vote. You're voting for who you believe in. What you do in that little cubicle when you go in there, or a particle board if you're Droops, it's your own fucking business, and you have to vote your head.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's wasted vote shit. That wasted vote mentality is the reason we have a two-party system. Well, that's all I want to say about that. Our next article...
Thank you, Obfuscated, for that lovely... No, nothing. Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. What we got going on here? Apple Computer has unveiled two new versions of its hugely successful iPod. The iPod photo on the U2 iPod. Man, this fucking shit. Apple has also expanded its iTunes music store to 9 more European markets, evidence that the company intends to maintain global communism in the portable music player and digital download markets. The announcement came October 26th at the media event that featured a keynote by Apple CEO Steve Blowjobs and a lot of performance by U2's Boner and The Curve, who played songs from the band's forthcoming album, How to Take a Shit on a Toilet. The high-end 60-gig iPod photo, $599, offers some innovations. Its addition to its music capacity, it has another 20 gigs of memory, making the largest capacity iPod, and a high-resolution color screen to display art and other digital images. It comes in a 40-gig version for $499. Just want to keep you all updated on iPods from Steve Blowjobs, and go iPod. Or people who like to save money, go iMation cheap CDRs from Walmart.
And we're also offering exclusively a Infonomicon iPod. All you have to do is send us $400, and we'll send you an iPod preloaded with all the Infonomicon radio shows that exist, including the ones that we haven't released.
That's such a scam.
$400. Mail it to me. And I will send you a slightly new iPod.
Trust us with your money. We will not spend it on hookers.
Cash. Unmarked low bills, like ones and fives.
And no fingerprints. You do know we have a scanner.
We actually are the government, so you should just do that anyway. All right?
I do have an interview in 2 weeks with the Phoebes.
What's a Phoebe?
FBI.
Ooh, I was thinking the girl from Friends.
No, that's how they pronounce it in the hood.
Oh. See, I'm not from the hood.
I actually do.
Pretty much, I just sit around eating crackers all day.
I really want to say I work for the government. That's just the fucking sweetest thing. Unfortunately, I can't work for the Secret Service. Done try that already.
The whole criminal record thing, doesn't that make them a little wary of you?
Yeah, you have to. Like, when they do interviews for FBI's agents, or pretty much, they do, like, really serious background checks. I'm talking about they send special agents to people you know's house, neighbors, asking questions. They don't do a background check. They do anal rooting. They'll know more about you than your fucking ass does.
That's what I like.
So you can't hide anything from those motherfuckers. And if anybody, like, I got to go take a polygraph. Anybody's taking a polygraph, my God, those things are fucking, like, I get there and I'm nervous already because, you know the guy's like, oh, you don't have to
Are you gay? And he goes,
no, just like, the guy's like, I'm telling the guy, I was like, I hope me being nervous, you know, doesn't affect the test. He's like, why are you nervous? I'm like, well, I do have, like, electric equipment strapped on my body at the moment, and you're asking me all kinds of crazy questions.
Okay. Are you done with your Phoebe story?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a little-known company that's whooping the hell out of Cisco on internet calling gear.
Good Value?
It's called Great Value. It's from Walmart. Actually, it's called, it's spelled A-V-A-Y-A. I'm going to pronounce that Avia. Avia? Avia. Anyway, Avia Incorporated is hardly a household name. Most of us have never heard of it. But this unlikely survivor of the telecom bust has emerged as a leader in the surging market for internet phone calling equipment. Today, which is actually a few days ago, as Avia planned to report its first annual profit in short life on revenue of about $4 billion, it finds itself in a rather surprising position. The once-troubled company, which was unceremoniously spun out of Lucent Technologies 4 years ago, is slugging out with some of the biggest names in technology, chiefly with computer networking giant Cisco Systems, for major contracts to install cutting-edge phone gear. Each assigned a who's who of customers. Avia landed Morgan Stanley. Cisco got Bank of America. Avia handled the Olympics for General Electric, NBC. Cisco will install a new phone system for Ford Motor Company. But despite this string of high-profile contracts, executives say little-known Avia needs to work on breaking out telecom circles to establish its name as a big technology of its own right, particularly if it wants to better take on Cisco's legendary marketing clout. Observers say Avia is doing things right. In particular, it's taking advantage of its legacy. It's stretching back to the days of Lucent and before that AT&T Corporation of selling equipment that sits in phone closets of nearly every major corporation in the United States. With its traditional emphasis on maintaining the quality of voice calls, the most difficult of all applications on the Internet, which is why ours doesn't sound that great, Avia is going to its established customers and offering a new link to new equipment with the old. This allows companies to upgrade their phone systems slowly, which keeps costs and stress levels low. Now, Cisco, by contrast, tells customers they have to do what's dubbed a forklift upgrade, which meaning they drive a forklift into the phone closet, pick up everything, haul it out, remove every phone that sits on every desk.
And what do they do with the equipment?
They replace it with Cisco stuff. They give it to oldschoolfreak.com. Actually,
they donate it.
Slow-go approach sometimes gives it an edge, especially with companies that are still leery about internet calling. So what they're doing is they can integrate it with their old stuff that they used to sell back when they were Lucent or back when they were AT&T, while Cisco's having to replace everything. And that's really helping them out a lot because it's a slower approach. It's a good way to go.
What were you said?
And Avia actually stock price. Wait, I didn't look it up. Never mind.
Okay, actually, speaking of stocks, I got one for the week or for the month, however much we do this shit. Okay, this is what everyone wants to go buy. VOD, Vodafone Group, okay?
All right.
Now, they dropped today 46, right?
Okay.
46 cents. But after I was trading, they were already up 5 cents. But I've got special insider trading. Well, it's
that's a big stock, man.
It's not a big stock. Right now, they're at 20.
I have two shares.
No. Right now, they're at 26. Okay? Last trade is at 26. And they own, last time I checked, well, I hope my facts are correct because I don't want to fuck this one up, 45% of Verizon.
Ooh.
Okay. So you want to buy Vodafone. It's going to go up soon. How do I know this? Insider trading, baby.
Insider trading.
Insider trading. I already bought like a million fucking shares.
Well, just for the record, I don't condone insider trading.
I do. I'm trying to get a piece of Martha Stewart ass.
Well, you're welcome to have her.
Would you?
She has a sweet ass.
Who had droopy old ass? You know what? I would think if you would fuck like fucking Martha Stewart doggy style, she'd be making a quilt.
She's like, today we're going to apply our own condom that we made out of glue.
And this is a good thing.
Just dips your wiener in hot glue.
And then latex, hot latex.
She's like, it's a little warm and it's not ever coming off, but...
Okay, back on the real news. Back on the real news. Can Firefox browser derail Microsoft? Part 5.
Microsoft!
Developers. Much like Linux, the Firefox browser has become an open source phenomenon. Nothing like a phenomenon. Something like a phenomenon. Okay. More
Phenomenacon.
That's right. We should name the show that. We'll change the show name again.
Let this be the official notice we're changing the name of the show to Phenomenacon.
No, Phenomenacon. I can't.
More like, we'll spell it.
More than 5 million people have downloaded the preview version of the free product. Development by the nonprofit Mozilla Foundation, while Microsoft's Internet Explorer share is eroding, albeit slightly, for the first time thanks to security concerns by users. This week's official launch is significant from both product and marketing standpoints. Firefox is the real deal, said Stephen O'Grady, analyst and software researcher, Redmonk. Bath Marine. Maine, I'm sorry. Whatever the fuck that little state is. The browser has features superior to IE, but unlike IE, has far been immune to disabling viruses. Mozilla, this is a quote, Mozilla has really emerged with a superior platform. And this is end quote. In a significant way, Firefox, not like Linux. It is affiliated with a major corporation, in this case, Time Warner, which spun off Mozilla as a nonprofit last year. Since then, IBM and some microsystems have contributed to Mozilla. Despite the blue-chip backing, Firefox marketing is on the cheap. So, quote, we don't have the cash for marketing, so we thought we apply open-source principles used for software development on the marketing side, says Chris Hoffman, the project's director of engineering. In September, Mozilla rolled out a community marketing campaign dubbed Spread Firefox, Spread Gonorrhea, launching a website of the same name that has attracted more than 25,000 marketing volunteers, many of them lured by the chance to attack the Microsoft empire. Ideas flood the site, much including Firefox's plush toys, a babe calendar, and product placement for TV, for example. Blah, 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 have included a new logo design, a press campaign, a push to get Firefox buttons placed on websites, and a drive to purchase full-page ads in the Times, New York Times, trumpeting this week's launch. The drive raised $250,000, and the upcoming ad will list the 10,000 donors along with the product pitch. With the launch, however, the grassroots strategy could change. Mozilla's deep pocket partners might decide to take more active marketing roles, said Hoffman. Until then, Mozilla plans to stick with its volunteer army.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's I'm all for them. I'm using their deep pocket friends to help back it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, fuck it. Just as long as it's still. You know, they still keep their code monkeys in a different room. In a different room, I'm okay with that. As long as it's still free. You know? Basically, you know, you're making a contribution to a better cause. It's kind of like a donation process.
And that's awesome.
Right.
I'm all about donating money to good causes. That's why I donated some money to my wife the other day to buy her some blue jeans, because the way her ass looks in the jeans.
Speaking of...
It's very important.
Nah, you know, I'm not all about, like, you know, just, like, starting a campaign just to get rid of Microsoft, but...
Fuck them.
Just long, oh, yeah, fuck them. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, it shouldn't be just like Mozilla because Microsoft sucks. It's because Mozilla because it's a good browser.
It's a good browser.
And it is.
Well, there's lots of other browsers out there.
Right.
And we like Mozilla.
Some you have to pay for, some you don't.
It's free, it's good, it does a good job. And it's not because Internet Explorer is made by Microsoft, it's because Internet Explorer is a piece of shit.
And I can't get it off my fucking computer.
Well, if you like doing Windows updates, you kind of need to have it. What are you doing in the background there, buddy?
I'm searching for adapters. Go ahead with your article.
Oh. I'm reading right now just to see if it's any good. Yeah, it's all right. New software that makes it easier to search another person's computers could force consumers to alter their privacy expectations yet again. Consumer users have long bemoaned the traditional sluggish file and email search functions. Traditional sluggish file and email search functions. Now major tech companies, starting with Google Incorporated, including its competitors in coming months, are rolling out software that promises to speed such searches. The efficiency may come at a price, however, in allowing colleagues, family members, and even strangers to snoop more readily through your private files. Google software, which has been internally named Total Recall, makes it so easy to find information on a computer that could invite abuse. Step away from your desk, for example, and a coworker could search for the word salary. Family members can more easily pry into each other's correspondence. Google software released earlier this month even records transcripts of instant message sessions, which are typically not saved. It also retrieves web pages that have been visited. Theoretically, that means crooks could install the software on public computers in cafes and libraries in order to steal passwords and other sensitive information, though many such locations block installation of software. While Google was the first of the tech giants to offer powerful desktop search, others won't be far behind. Microsoft Corporation, which should have fucking done it in Windows 3.1, the stupid sons of bitches.
No shit.
And Ask Jeeves Incorporated say they'll release desktop search products by the end of this year.
Ask Jeeves?
Yeah. And Yahoo Incorporated has hinted at similar plans. Apple Computer will include desktop search as part of an operating system upgrade due out 2005. Those products are likely to raise similar privacy concerns. What? Microsoft should have fucking done this a long fucking time ago. You should have a third-party goddamn application to fucking search your goddamn computer.
I'm more amazed that Ask Jeeves is still around.
Oh, yeah, man. AJ.com.
They don't fucking go away. Like, who's giving these fuckers money? Like, who's backing them? Who owns them?
That would be Jeeves.
No, I wonder who owns that company.
Jeeves? I don't think it's a public company.
I know somebody owns it with cocksuckers, but anyway, I can't believe they're like a roach that won't fucking die.
Grannies like it.
But who's using it? I hate that fucking cunt, that smug piece of shit in a suit. Fuck him.
Oh, there he is. Oh, they've changed their little layout, but it's still red and white.
That smug prick.
I went to Google and typed in Ask Jeeves and hit enter.
That's not funny.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. Hey, shut up, you bastard.
Okay. Zero gravity jet simulates space for regular folks. Aboard G-Force 1 above the Gulf of Mexico, space is the one frontier that's out of reach for the average person, but the feeling of space travel is now a little less inclusive. For those who dream of rocketing into space like a superstar, or who just want a new thrill, roller coaster type flights aboard a modified jetliner give passengers a sense of walking on the moon and the ability to fly like Superman in a wheelchair. The ride can last up to 2 hours and cost a mere $2,950. Zero to Gravity Corp. of Deana Beach, Florida, is the first company to achieve government approval to offer these aerobatic flights in the United States. Similar companies operate overseas. Previously, only researchers, NASA astronauts, and training are extremely well heeled space enthusiasts in Russia could take the zero gravity flights. They were also used during the filming of the Tom Hanks movie Apollo 13. Company co-founder and chairman Peter Diamond Nuts said he and partner Brian Lindenberg, I don't fucking know, a former astronaut, wanted to provide the experience to everyone who has had a dream of space flight. Mr. Diamond Nuts is also the creator of XPRIZE Foundation, which sponsored the contest won October the 4th by Spaceship One, the first privately financed manned rocket to break the Earth's atmosphere and reach space.
Twice.
5 days later, Zero Gravity ran its first trips for the general public, taking 54 persons on two flights. Plans call for flights 1 week in a month for the near future, with the next scheduled November the 6th. The flights leave from Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport, board a modified Boeing 727. Mr. Diamond Nuts said costs are kept low because the plane, owned by Fort Lauderdale-based Amerijet International Incorporated, flies cargo during the week. It is modified for the weekend, zero-gravity trips with a padded 70-foot floor.
The 747 is the big bastard with, like, the extra floor above it and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Back in the day, you know, you have your cocktail upstairs and smoke your cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're going to spend, almost like $3,000 for a fucking trip in space?
It's not really a trip in space.
Well, I know that.
They go straight up.
It's a simulator.
They go up, and they drop straight down, so you're falling, but everything's, you know, staying. You can.
I know, it's like a Disney fucking land ride.
Yeah.
You can simulate almost the same thing on fucking Earth.
They call that the Vomit Comet.
Yes, and
a lot of people get sick in this thing.
Disney World.
I want to be in like 52 people in this big fucking room, you know, and we're all weightless, and some dude's puking. I don't think that'd be fun.
I got a funny story about that in a second. I just don't like every amusement park on this in this country: Six Flags, Disney World, Disneyland, Kings Island, if that's still open in Ohio.
Worlds of Fun in Kansas City.
Have like things that bring you up and drop you down like a motherfucker. It's the same feeling you get when you hit a bump in the road.
Yes.
It's not
a
good feeling.
Being from Louisiana, we don't have to pay for that.
Yes. It's a feeling of, oh, shit. Okay. There's this ride at this festival I went to. I guess it spins around so much, you're pretty much weightless.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy puked. It's a funny thing. The guy next to me puked, okay?
Okay.
The puke like levitated in midair for like a half a second. It's beautiful, actually. It just like levitated in the air, then like shot back like full swing right back at him.
Excellent.
The dude had bruises on his face.
From his puke.
Yes.
That's awesome.
You get your ass kicked by vomit.
Speaking of Ask Jeeves, I looked it up while you're reading your article. It's actually a publicly traded company on the NASDAQ. It's Ask J.
What is it right now?
$26.35. It's up 6.
Yeah. I'm at 26.35?
Yeah.
Yeah, 26.35, and it went up on 48 cents today.
Okay.
I can't believe it's that much. I really can't believe it's that much. Who is paying $26 for... Number one, tech stocks are risky as it is. And you're buying Ask Jeeves in your portfolio?
Huh. It was pretty stable. They made money today.
I guess. Long term, I don't think it'd be okay. But go ahead with your next article.
Oh. Well, we're not a political show. But we are a tech show, and we're going to talk about some political tech.
Oh, shit.
You shut the fuck up. As the John Kerry campaign buses pull into the sprawling Barnett Park Recreation Center, Jim Zabarnik, whatever, springs into action. In a frenzy that becomes routine day after day, state after state, Mr. Jarnik furiously unfurls cables to wire up a rec room center with specialized internet router. In just 4 minutes, he creates a wireless or Wi-Fi hotspot, spraying out high-speed internet signals to laptops of dozens of reporters and television producers covering the event. The presence of Wi-Fi on the campaign trail shows how pervasive the latest technology has become for reporters covering this year's presidential race. BlackBerry portable email devices and air cards that let laptops access the wireless web via the cellular networks of Sprint Corporation and Verizon Wireless have become virtual must-haves for the press corporations. So pretty much he's setting up internet for the news reporters at the campaign.
That's cool.
But there's a digital divide. A digital divide between the winner and the loser. The White House and the Bush re-election effort still largely relies on slow dial-up lines coordinated by AT&T Corporation.
Oh, Jesus.
And that prompted complaints from the campaign press corps. Glenn Johnson of the Boston Globe, who has covered both the Bush and the Kerry campaigns, asks, why is the most technologically advanced office in the world working off the same technology that Alexander Graham Bell invented years ago? So Kerry's got, like, high-speed internet and Wi-Fi, and Bush had, like, dial-up. With AT&T. To get on the internet. And Alexander Graham Bell invented that shit, you know, years ago. Not like 100 years ago, but just years ago.
Okay, now, I'm going to get in here, and I'm not going to say anything, like, between both sides, but is it the candidate's responsibility to supply internet access?
Yes.
It is?
If you're a candidate, and you're running for office, and you want to speak so that people know what you're talking about, wouldn't you want the press to be able to cover your
speech? Yeah, I would want to. No. I would want to, but is it my responsibility to provide the link-ups?
Wouldn't you want to give them food and everything they could to get your story out?
Right. I'm not saying that. Is it my responsibility, though?
No. It's their job to find their own fucking shit, but if you're helping them out, that's cool.
Well, yeah, no, I'm all about giving them high-speed internet so you can, like, you know, hook up and get your report out, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, is it like, if I would go out, right, today and say I'm running for, I don't know, fucking janitorial services at the high school, okay?
And I got to have to run for that?
Well, no, you don't have to run for that. I'm just being an ass. I get up on a podium, right, and I just have a speakerphone. Oh, not a speakerphone, but a microphone with a loudspeaker, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think that should be it. Like,
well, let me say
I don't care what campaign you're running for. I think it's the responsibility of the press to actually be able to hook their own internet accesses up.
If you're giving a speech about anything, you want people to hear it. Huey Long, one of our favorite politicians, had men that used to walk around with
shooting
rags,
people.
Shooting people. No. Like, he'd give a speech. They didn't have microphones and shit. It was just as loud as he could talk.
Right.
And so people would come, you know, for town the weekend, whatever, like Sunday to go to church, and they'd have their kids with them, and there'd be babies that were crying. And they would soak these rags in, like, a mixture of, like, milk and sugar or some shit, and they called it a teat. And the men would go around and give it to the mothers that had crying babies to shut the babies up with so that he could hear. It wasn't his responsibility to make people make their kids shut the
that
fuck
would,
up.
That would not go over nowadays. That would
oh, it
so
wouldn't
not
at all.
Go over. Here, but, shut your fucking kid up.
But it's a method that got his word out to more people. And with Kerry having high-speed internet, that helps the reporters get the word out. And
oh, yeah. I'm all for it. I'm just saying it shouldn't be the responsibility of the candidate. But I think they should at least provide it. I just don't think it's their responsibility.
Okay.
You see where I'm coming from?
They don't have to do it.
Right, that's
really
what I'm saying.
It's a good thing to do.
They shouldn't have to. But, yes, it's a good thing to do.
But it didn't really seem to work for Mr. Kerry, did it?
Okay. Is that in the article? Is that in the article, man?
Was it.
Okay. Microsoft licensed a deal. After stepping up his own patented push, Microsoft is now trying to get its hands on other companies' intellectual property. Doing so will give the companies more freedom to develop software in new areas and help the company as it seeks to fuck people in the ass, its customers against any claims of patent infringement. That's a quote. If we are able to strike cross-licensing deals with the top 30 technology companies, the alone will provide us access to a vast majority of the partners' patents in the area we care about, said David Kaka, Microsoft's Director of Intellectual Property Licensing, told CNetNews.com. That's what I think. Microsoft has roughly 100 licensing deals in the works. About 15 to 20 in broad cross-licensing packs with other large companies. Kaka said adding it can take from 1 to 2 years to reach an accord. This is a quote from Kaka again. We're making good progress on this, on some. Others are moving very slowly. It has been 11 months since Microsoft said it would step up its intellectual property efforts. The company has two formal licensing programs, one for its FAT file format and the other for its ClearType bot rendering technology, and it could add more soon. The company has started to increase the number of sales coming in, but Kaka said that the amount of money Microsoft makes by licensing its patents and other intellectual property is still far less than the revenue from any of the traditional business units. Because Microsoft paid out about $1.4 billion in the last fiscal year to license other companies' technology, turning a profit is not a realistic goal, he said. However, there is an opportunity to narrow the gap. Basically, there's like, you know, say there's like patents on the plate. They're like, they're eating them all. Every patent. Next week, they're going to buy the patent of the fucking moving film, moving pictures. Microsoft isn't the talkie. Microsoft invented Velcro.
There is some stupid fucking shit that goes on in this fucking world. Jesus.
Including this show.
Including this show. Anyway, my favorite phone company, Bell South Corporation, and I'm sure someone else loves SBC Communications, are teaming up. They're creating a joint nationwide internet yellow page service. It's not called Google, it's not called Yahoo, it's not called Yelp, not called all the ones that are already there. They just are about to close an agreement to acquire YellowPages.com, an independently owned online directory publisher, for as much as $150 million.
Holy shit.
Yeah, according to people close to the situation, Bell South and SBC plan to announce the deal as early as a couple days ago. The new jointly owned entity would be called YellowPages.com, just like it was called a month ago, which the company's plan to fashion into a nationwide online directory expected to draw more than 50 million online consumer searches a month. This move is the latest in a series that tied Bell South and SBC, two of the nation's largest phone companies, more closely together. The pair already owns Singular Wireless Service, and in February acquired AT&T. $41 billion, if anyone wanted to know a dollar sign on that, to create the largest cell phone operator in the U.S. Some analysts expect all SBC and Bell South operations to eventually merge. The Yellow Pages industry is changing rapidly, with traditional print Yellow Pages owned by the nation's largest phone companies increasingly coming under attack from upstart rivals such as Yellow Book, as well as competing media such as TV, radio, and the interweb. To attract more traffic and gain market share, phone companies are increasingly investing in online directories. Verizon Communications Incorporated has already revamped its online directory called SuperPages.com. Yellow Page operations are, of course, important to phone companies because they have high profit margins. It's not because it's convenient for the consumer. It's high profit margins. A number of the nation's local phone companies have sold part of their operations to Rage Cash. Atlanta-based Bell South is considering eventual sale of its print directory unit, people close to the company say. Such a move could help serve many, could help pay for the costly rollout of new technologies such as fiber and wireless. Quest Communications reported its quarterly earnings a couple days ago. It already sold off its entire directory business in order to help reduce its heavy debt load. The unit is now called Dex Media Incorporated and still serves as the main Yellow Pages in Quest region. Verizon is also seeking to reduce its debt load, has sold off its Canadian directory. Meanwhile, popular search engines such as Google Incorporated are increasingly becoming a threat to traditional Yellow Pages. Just thought y'all all know that they're
it's interesting.
Trying to make money off of you, but the Yellow Pages thing.
Fucking Yellow Pages. Those things usually come free at the door, don't they?
Yeah. Okay. But the ads inside of them are not free.
That is correct. They're expensive. Very, very expensive. I heard one time that the Yellow Pages symbol and the Yellow Pages itself is not copyrighted, a trademark.
Really?
No.
Huh.
Yeah. So there was some kind of scam going on where people were like sending people mail, like businesses, saying that we're the Yellow Pages and we're lowering our rates. You know, say $50 an ad, okay? And it's $50 an ad, and you give it to us, and we'll change it. And what they were doing, all they had was, it was called the Yellow Pages, and all it was a this fax page that was sent out to, like, three people. Tell me that's not genius.
That's awesome.
So technically they had a company sending out, you know, a directory.
That's awesome. We should do that.
We should. Call ours the Pink Pages. And we're only sending, we only have phone numbers of gay people on this.
The gay directory.
No, the pink directory.
Okay.
The Rainbow Times. Okay, this is going to be the last article. We're going to run short on time
already?
This week. Yeah, man. Went by pretty fast. But not for our listeners.
Time flies when it sucks talking to you. Sorry, go ahead.
I love you, too. And, okay, sperm solution to promiscuous.
What? One more time.
This is too much. Nature is fighting back in response to female. Oh, Jesus, this is a stupid article. Hope it's not true. If nature is fighting back in response to females being sluts by producing a biological sperm chastity belt, says U.S. scientist. Semen becomes more sticky to act as a plug, thereby preventing sperm from sperm competitors impregnating females who sleep around, they found. The Howard Hughes Medical Institute team, along with colleagues from Chicago and Kansas City, studied humans, monkeys, and gorillas. The findings appear in the Nature Genetics. I guess that's a trade magazine. The researchers examined the semen of 12 different species of primates. The species were the females who were not sluts. The males were developed several stages to ensure they would be the male most likely to father any offspring and pass on their genes, as well as having large testicles and producing more sperm. The semen was more sticky. Chimpanzees, for example, were a more slutly species, having more advanced evolution of a gene control in the stickiness of semen than gorillas, which tend to be monogamous and stay faithful to the partners for life. Humans were midway between, suggesting that while women are nothing like a slutty as chimps, neither are they as faithful as gorillas. This, and there's a headline, Sticky Solution. Lead researcher Dr. Bruce Lippy said the idea is that in species with slutty females, there's more selective pressure for the male to make his semen more competitive. And it's similar to the pressures of competing marketplaces. In such a marketplace, competitors have constantly changed their products to make them better, to give them an edge over their rivals, whereas in a monopoly, there's no incentive to change. The gene in question is called SEMG2 and controls the production of the component of semen called semen Colgate. I don't know how to pronounce that. And it acts like a glue. In more extreme cases, the effects were so pronounced that the semen became a solid plug, effectively a chastity belt. Dr. Alan Pacey, a senior lecturer in adrenology at some university and member of the British Fraternity Association, said, "Got any drink of water? Hold on.
All right.
This is what he said. We know that genes control and reproductive processes are some of the most rapidly evolving in the animal kingdom. Clearly, successful competition is not solely about the quality or quantity of the semen inseminated. So, some of the aspects of semen biochemistry or aspects of the psychology of the female reproduction tract are just as important. Semen competition is an evolutionary arms race, with males developing increasingly sophisticated strategies to tip the balance towards successful competition, and at the same time hinder the chances of rival males. Basically, you sluts out there, you're fucking up the evolution process. You're making our semen as like a thick milkshake from McDonald's, which isn't really a milkshake, it's animal fat.
That's awesome.
That's fucked up.
That's tasty. Good.
Good and thick. Okay, we're going to end the show with the, we're going to play Shirley Q right now?
Hell yeah.
So, go ahead, Shirley.
Hit it up, Shirley.
How you doing? This here is Shirley Q Liquor with today's birthday and anniversary. I want to wish a very happy birthday this morning to Penelope and Arrhythmia. They are twins, and this is their fifth birthday. Their mama supposed to take them down to McDonald's, get them a Happy Meals. Doc clocks of Cecily, she turned 8 today, and she getting her first earrings pierced it up in her head. And Absorbing Jr., his mama say he turned 13 as far as she know, and crazy in hell. Okay. As far as anniversary, Gamonia and Clarence been married for 20-something years. They going to go ahead and celebrate tonight down there at the club. They forgot their certificate, but she remember it was sometime when it was hot, so it's probably about this time. Ooh, and you know what I had heard? Sharana Quisha Kanelica, they said she have done eloped it with Devon Champlain, and they were disappearing since last night, but his Cadillac was spotted at the motel. I give that one 2 weeks, honey. As soon as they both sober up, they're going to realize that was ignorant, and they're going to have to get it or nudged it. And let's see, on this day in history, 5 years ago today, Chanel DeJenkins moved in upstairs with her 500-pound butt. Lord, my ceiling ain't never been the same since me done got cracked it all up in. Nobody have even saw that woman, but every time she take a bath, I get nervous. Well, all right then, have a happy day, and tell your mama I asked her how she do.
Okay, thanks, Shirley. And we're going to do call Stank of the Week because he's working probably right now.
He's a hard-working man.
He works hard for his money. So you
and
better.
He dances in a montage.
And you better treat him right.
And our cunt of the week, well, we're not going to mention who it is, but people that know us know who it is. My wife knows who
it is. No, I'm not going to. Fuck all that. Our cunt of the week is, I've been thinking about this. Fuck, I don't know. The guy who lives next door to me, who listens to Liza Minnelli, and has to play it, like, really loud at 4 in the morning. Hey, you're a cunt! You heard me? I hope he heard that. I don't know his name. I gotta find his name. Anyway, he's the cunt of the week. And our list of the week, do you have a term of the week?
I do not have a term of the week. Do you have a term of the week, Jay? My wife's thinking.
Yeah, medical term.
Medical term. Something that has to do with drug use. What's a good nurse's
term?
Yeah,
go ahead. That's good.
Skagunga.
That's not a real word, is it?
That's not a real word, is it? What is this? What's a skagunga?
Skagunga.
Oh, let me her tell y'all.
Okay, get her on air. Get her on air.
Skagunga?
Hey, Jay.
Yeah, that's the word of the week.
How you pronounce it again?
Skagunga.
Skagunga. And what's
nice?
What's it mean?
Well, we kind of made it up. Does that still count?
I don't know. What's it mean?
Well, it's this nasty stuff that you get out of an inline Ballard suction tubing from an ET tube.
And what's an ET tube?
It's an endotracheal tube. I guess that could be your word of the week.
Oh, well, Jesus.
That's real word.
That's scary.
Endotracheal.
My God,
but endotracheal. Skagunga, I think, goes better with...
I like skagunga. Skagunga is the word of the week.
Yeah, skagunga is a nice word.
You should have called it skagunga radio.
Skagunga radio. How nice.
Anyway.
Okay. That's our term of the week and our... I got a word of the week. I know that's supposed to be the term, but I wanted she actually had a serious one, and somebody actually told me I've been done fuck.
You what?
Somebody actually told me today on a conversation. It's like, yeah, I've been done fuck.
You've been done fuck.
I've been done fuck.
Okay.
You can tell I live in the ghetto.
Yeah.
Okay, got that out of the way, and the quote of the week.
Oh, this is my department too, isn't it?
No, I got this.
Okay.
Well, we're getting my inspection sticker today. I was denied because Baton Rouge has just changed its policy to having like one of the hardest regulation of emissions tests in the country, almost surpassing California. How nice to know.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, that is sweet. Now, he gave me like a fucking report why my shit didn't fix, okay?
Okay.
And I'm like, well, what do I do about it? I don't know. Well, to you, Mr. Hartman, if I had the address in front of me of the fucking place you work at, I would tell it. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad he's employed doing that.
Yes. Also,
seems very intelligent.
Also announced, I found a fucking USB thumb drive today. I mean, yeah, it was last night. On the floor when I was cleaning up the place. It's 512 megs. A pure delight.
Pure delight.
Okay, man, let me see. I'm going to get my shouts out. I'm going to go with my shouts. Sites of the week.
Okay.
Okay.
I do have a site of the week.
I have a few of them, actually. Okay, what's yours?
I got one. It's, what the hell did they change it to? Lineman Interference.com.
It's Lineman.
Or Lineinterference.com.
That's right. Lineinterference.com. He's got some really good learning shows.
Unlike ours, which is more of a waste of time.
Pretty much. It's not a continuous thing. I think he puts them out when he decides he wants to teach people something. But it's really fucking good. Go check that out. It's really good. You can, you know... learning shit. Another one is themindwar.com. If you want to hear about conspiracies and Coast to Coast is not on, that's an excellent show.
Excellent.
Excellent show. I want to give shouts out to... I have a friend that actually has a radio show each week. I think it's each week. I'm not sure. It's a techno show. I'm not in the technos. I know him. And I think primarily it's house music. Like, I don't know the fucking difference. I really don't. And so, if y'all guys are into that, go check it out at cyberjams.com. CYBERJAMZ.com. That's going to be in the show notes. And his name is, Matt Toups. TOUPS. And, he rolls it out.
Excellent.
Freestyly.
Freestyle.
He rolls out the jams, as they say in the hood. Also, another side of the week is...
I thought they pumped up the jams.
No, that was 5 years ago. They pumped up the jams 5 years ago. Now they... I don't know what they do now.
Now they roll out.
Okay, another side. The last side of the week is going to be bellsmind.com. For all you freaks.
Expert.
And stuff and stuff like that. who else do I get shouts to? Shouts to Voodoo Howl, Pixel Fiend, Berserk,
Stank Smelly.
The guy who sent me the music, because he listens to good music, and you rock.
Kevin Smith with his email.
Kevin Smith who sent us spam. I guess since Jersey Girl sucked balls, he has to start sending spam out now.
Oh,
and that's all for you, man?
I just wanted to give shouts out to Voodoo Hal for continuing to let us use his website, or his server space, excuse me. For the Infonomicon.org website. We love you, buddy. And anyone that needs a website, go check out mojonetworks.net. He's a good guy. He treats you right.
Treats you right.
And he gives you naked pictures of his mom, if you ask.
Nicely,
yeah.
Okay, man. Our closing music, like I said, I've been having a shitty week. So I picked a song that kind of gives me old school shit, and this is old school shit. If anybody actually knows who this band is, email me because you fucking rock.
Has anybody ever won our contest?
Let me just mention that. Nobody's fucking even sent something like email saying, like, you know, fuck you, this shit's hard, or, like, this is simple, I can do it. No one's even tried the fucking contest yet. Go out there, download the fucking contest. You got a few weeks. Don't be a
Excellent.
Fucking sperm junkie. Okay. Now, what was I saying?
The
closing music is pretty much something that, like, you know, tells my piss-offness about this week. The band's called Suicidal Tendencies, and the song's called How Would I Laugh? How Would I Laugh Tomorrow When I Can't Even Smile Today?
Excellent.
And that's it. And our email addresses are at imobfuscated@infonomicon.org, and he is droops@infonomicon.org. Website is, obviously, infonomicon.org. And that's it, man.
Excellent.
Until next week, we are, as the proverbial we are, Mickey Finn.